Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back with part two of our interview with the one and only Dave Coulier. We are so thankful to him for joining us and being so candid about questions we've never known the answers to. Without further ado, here is part two of Dave Coulier.
I would love to hear like how you, I mean, talking about comedy and stuff, like how you got into comedy. I know, you know, Mike Binder was a big part of that, like growing up in Michigan and stuff. And
Mike talked me into moving to L.A. when I was 18 years old. I got into comedy just from, you know, the way a lot of comedians do, just through pain. And it was a way to, you know, deal with pain that was happening in my life. I grew up in a really strong Catholic family in a Catholic neighborhood in a Catholic community. And I went to Catholic school. I went to Catholic all boys high school. And so, you know, all that guilt that is associated with that came crashing down on me when my parents got divorced. I was 9 years old. I was in third grade, starting a new Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And my way of dealing with the pain that was at home, because my parents were both lovely people. They just should never have procreated together, you know?
Right, right.
But I'm glad they did, you know, it was my coping mechanism of feeling all this Catholic guilt on a daily basis was to be the funny kid in the class. And so I learned very early how to do voices with my brother. My brother and I would lay in our bunk beds, and my brother was the funniest person I ever known. He was so dry, but so brilliant and witty. And he was a savant. He could play classical piano just off the top of his head.
Oh, wow.
He was a sculptor. He was a painter, but very, very troubled, you know. But he truly was a savant with a lot of different things. And so my brother taught me how to do impressions. And we would lay in our bunk beds at night and we would do impressions of our neighbors and our family members and friends. And my brother would do these impressions and make me laugh so hard. My dad would run into our room at like 1 a.m. and go, "If you two don't knock it off, I'm tired of hearing Mr. Hooper and Mr. Rondo in here." And those were our neighbors across the street. So my brother Danny and I, we would sit on the front porch, and we called it narrating the neighborhood. And so we would just look across the street and go, okay, you take Mr. Maddox and I'll take Mr. Hooper and you take Mr. Rondo and Mr. Gatt. And we were just, I can't stand it. These kids with their lawnmower, I'm just a dumb old buffalo. And then, you know, I would, you know, my brother would do Mr. Hooper. I can't stand my own stomach. Because he had a huge stomach. And my brother would always do this bit. I can't stand my own stomach. You know, my belly button is like a jar. I could pour dirt in it and grow a plant. And we would make each other laugh so hard, but we would carry that into our bunk beds late at night.
Right.
And I thought farts were the funniest thing in the world, still do, because I had nine uncles growing up. And my joke was I pulled more.
And some sort of hereditary bowel disease. So
absolutely. Yeah. So
needless to say, it runs in the family, quite literally.
So my joke is I had nine uncles growing up. I pulled more fingers than an orthopedic surgeon. So, I was a funny kid, and my aunts and uncles were all funny. My dad was really funny. My mom was a great laugher. My sisters were terrifically funny. And so comedy for me was just basically something that brought intense joy, laughter. And because I wasn't hearing those laughs when I got home, the laughter would stop when I got home because it was very painful, the relationship between my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And then I was a jock. So being a jock, you've got a built-in audience. You know, I would play hockey and there's 20 kids sitting around and I would do impressions of the coaches. It was just an extension of what I was doing at home with my brother, but I brought it into the locker room. When I got into high school, let's back up. I met Mark Sandrowski in third grade.
Oh, wow. And Mark Sandrowski, by the way, just as a side note here, Mark Sandrowski was, as far as he relates to us, he is one of Dave's best friends, but he was our second AD on Full House for a while. And then he went on to successfully direct Big Bang Theory and win Emmys. And he's directed a ton of shows and he's an incredible sitcom director and he's a lovely human being. Side note. Anyway, back to you.
So I knew Mark. Mark and I met in third grade and I walked by his desk to go get my paper from the teacher and he was drawing in his notebook. And I was like, what the heck is that kid doing? So I walked back up my paper. I walked back and I go, what are you drawing there? He goes, oh, these are Martians. And I'm like, I'm going to like this kid. And so we became best friends and we started writing comedy bits, probably end of third grade, fourth grade.
Wow.
And we would do little sketches at the hockey banquets. And, you know, he would always have me do voices and he would be the straight man and I would do the funny guy. And
where Cut It Out came from?
Yeah, I stole it from him because he and his brother Dwight were a comedy duo and they used to open for me. And they were called Ski Squared. Sandrowski, so it was Ski Squared. Oh. And Mark would do this Mark Suave character where he would unbutton his shirt all the time to a woman in the front row and go, I know what you're looking at, now cut it out. And I told him, I said, I'm going to steal that. So I did. I started using it on a show that I hosted on Nickelodeon called Out of Control. Mm-hmm. And it became kind of my catchphrase. I remember doing Cut It Out at one of our run-throughs early on at Full House. And I remember the producers laughing and they were like, what was that weird thing you did? I went, oh, cut it out. And they go, we're going to write that in. And they did, you know, so comedy for me, I had a partner in crime early on with Mark. I knew another funny kid. Mm-hmm. And then, with stand-up, I started doing, impressions in high school at Notre Dame, where Mark and I went. And I could do dead-on impressions of about six or seven teachers and our principal. And one day we're in the cafeteria for lunch, and I was doing this bit using our principal's voice. And all of a sudden everybody's eyes stopped and was looking behind me. And I was like, uh-oh. And I turned around and it was the principal.
Oh, no. And he talked like this, David, I'll see you down in my office now.
And his name was Conrad Vachon. So I went down to his office and he said, you and that Sandrowski fella, you know, those kids follow you. Why don't you do the announcements? And I said, really? He goes, yeah, you do it. And I said, as you? And he goes, well, yeah, whatever you want. So Mark and I started writing the announcements in the morning, and I would go on as the principal of our school.
Oh my God. That's
doing
amazing.
The announcements.
That's so great.
And so that's kind of how I really got hooked. And we were always listening to George Carlin and Richard Pryor albums and sketching stuff and creating funny characters. And then we added another friend of ours, Tom Keenan. So everybody called us the Three Stooges.
Okay.
And we would perform at Oktoberfests and, you know, charities and banquets and the hockey awards, local, you know, the banquet, we would do a show. And so it was really nice. By the time I got to high school, we had a whole troupe of 9 guys and we would do kind of Monty Python Saturday Night Live sketches to raise money for the school. And so that just led into doing stand-up here in Detroit when stand-up was exploding. My group was Robin Williams, Richard Pryor, Gary Shandling, Bob Saget, Jim Carrey, Howie Mandel, Drew Carey, Dennis Miller, Louis Anderson. It was an extraordinary time to be a stand-up. Jerry Seinfeld, Larry Miller. And it was such an amazing group that you couldn't follow Jerry Seinfeld and do your B material. You had to go on at the Comedy Store. And I'm following Shandling, I'm following Saget, I'm following Seinfeld, I'm following Robin Williams. And, you know, none of us were stars. We were just comics. You had to go up and really hit it out of the park following those guys because they were hitting it out of the park. So, you know, and I was 19 years old. It was really exciting, you know. And then I was a stand-up for a long time, right through Full House. And then I quit.
What made you decide to quit?
I was burned out. I was doing Full House. I was hosting America's Funniest People on ABC. I was doing voices on the Muppet Babies on CBS. And I was doing voices on the Real Ghostbusters cartoon. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, this isn't going to last forever. I'm going to tour. I'm going to do stand-up dates. So there's a theater here in Michigan called Pine Knob. And it's like 10,000 seats. So Dennis Miller, I played there 3 times. I co-headlined with Bob, Louis Anderson one time, and with Dennis Miller. The 3rd time was with Dennis. I opened the show, and then Dennis closed. And during my set, in front of like 8,000 people, I started talking to myself and having this inner dialogue. And I was telling myself how I wasn't into it, how I was just like going through the motions, and like I caught myself, and I don't know how long I was taught. It was probably just milliseconds, but I caught myself having this inner dialogue, and I thought, ooh, you have just been on autopilot. This is really awful, and it scared me. And I walked off stage, and then Dennis and I went out to dinner, and I just told him, I said, I can't do this anymore. And I called Brad Gray, who was my manager. And I said, Brad, cancel the rest of my dates. He goes, what are you talking about, Dave? And I said, I'm burned out. He goes, you got these theater dates. He goes, you're going to make a fortune. And I said, I can't do it anymore. I just scared the crap out of myself on stage. Mm-hmm. So I took like, 8 or 9 years off. And then just wasn't interested in it. And you know, never say never, but I don't think I'll do it again. I achieved everything in stand-up I wanted to do. You know, I did an HBO special. I did The Tonight Show when Johnny Carson was hosting. I was on Showtime. I, you know, toured. It was awesome. It was really awesome. But to do it now, stand-up's hard. It's really hard. And if anybody tells you it's not, they've never done it. But it's really hard. And I know what it takes to put an hour and a half together, a killer hour and a half. I did an Air Force tour a couple of years ago. I did 24 U.S. Air Force bases and I had to headline, and it was so much work. And you have to be on a stage every night to get good. And I don't want to do that anymore. It's a lot of work, you know. And Jody, I know you're out doing stand up, and
Mike Binder actually gave me my first opportunity. He had me open for him at the Ice House. It was my first time getting up and doing original material, and it was because he was like, "I've seen you. I know you can do this. I know you can do this." And like, I got off the stage, and he was like, "Bob and Dave would be so proud of you." Like, and that meant the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. I mean, I get like, I haven't put as much effort into it because it's also a young people's grind. You know what I mean? All my friends that are stand-ups, like, they're out every night at the club, at Comedy Store, at Laugh Factory, going club to club till 2-3 in the morning. I'm like, I got kids that got to get up and go to school. And I get, you know, I can do a couple shows here and there, but it's a lifestyle. Being a comic, I see is kind of, and it's awesome and it's great. But it's a lot.
Yeah, and you're either all in or you're not.
Right, right.
Because, you know, audiences will tell you, oh, you're not all in.
Right.
Just by their response. And I know how much effort it takes to write and go out. Just to get 5 minutes is hard, you know? Yeah. To get a five-minute set together that's rip-roaring killer.
Yeah.
Takes you a month.
Yeah.
Wow. At least a month. For 5 minutes, you know? So to put an hour together is going to take you a year.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of work and commitment. And you know, I have so many other nice things in my life that I can devote that time to that, you know, I'm not a laugh junkie. I don't need to hear the laughs, you know?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure, stress-free, and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out, we'll make it like it's 1988, no phones. No, nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your Ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and... maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Did you ever have any other jobs, like other, didn't you tell me that one time you did like some sort of engineering or something, right? Or some
sort of,
yeah. Like, I always love bragging about like you and Andrea and Scott, because like the people that played the stupidest characters on our show were actually some of the most intelligent people. And so I'm always like, Dave's like really bright. Like, don't let Joey fool you.
Yeah, I worked in a mechanical engineering firm here in Detroit. I was a detailer where you had to draw everything by hand. So I had a giant drawing board, and we would design cycloidal transfer units. And so I would take down substations from those huge assembly lines. What it is, it moves parts down an assembly line.
Okay.
And we would design all of these different stations that would, you know, take a piece of steel, rotate it, drill it, counterbore it, you know, switch it and move it on to the next station, you know, of the, all this automation that was going to happen. So I would have to break down certain sections of that and draw it and detail it all out, and call out all the parts and how you could machine it. So I did that before I moved to LA, and I have two sides of my brain. I definitely have a creative side, but I also love the technical stuff. Like, that's why I love aviation. That's why I love flying. And as a kid growing up, I could never really make sense of math or science until I became a pilot. And then being a pilot is all math and science. You know, it's meteorology, it's, you know, it's physics, it's aerodynamics, it's, you know, and then there's communication, and then there's navigation, and then there's, you know, all the technical aspects of just, you know, fuel, navigation. I love all that stuff. But it never made sense until I could put it all together in a 3D package, which is flying an airplane. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I love that stuff, which is why I love directing television. You know, you get to be so creative, and you get to work with cameras and technical aspects, and, you know, you put that together and you've got this wonderful, funny symphony.
I was going to ask, how was it directing the show? Like, how was it directing us?
It was a wonderful experience.
How was it directing Bob? No.
Oh, Bob is such a pain in the ass to direct. I know. I mean, he was just, you know, it made sense why directors would just shake their heads all those years, you know, because I would
just
be like,
oh boy,
he's not off book, but he's out of his mind, off somewhere making people laugh. And it's like, Bob, you don't even know your lines yet. You know, you should probably be taking that energy and putting it into memorizing your lines. But, you know, he was a laugh junkie, you know,
for sure.
You know, if he had an audience there, he was going to make sure that they were laughing at him. And, you know, a lot of times it was to his own detriment.
That's true.
I always loved being directed by you. The only times I've seen you serious is when you're flying or when you're directing. Other than that, you're just making jokes all the time, or farting. But
yeah, I remember, that's true. We joke. We're like, ooh, it's serious, Dave.
It's serious, Dave.
Serious,
well,
Dave is here.
Yeah, I know. But
you have to be.
Yeah, you know, I built this house that I'm sitting in here, and it was a tough build. It took me 17 months, but I approached it like directing a show. Like, the plans are your script. I just didn't realize I was going to be working with so many shitty actors. contractors are a whole world. But, you know, I loved being able to work with all of these different personalities doing different things, and then falling back on the script, the plans, to make sure that everything was executed properly. And it was a real challenge, but I'm glad I did it. You know, it was,
we love the pictures of you in your little tractor backhoe thing with your little heater.
You're like,
look at me go. Yeah. You've got a tractor. And I just always picture Dave. I'm like, he's just plowing something on his property, digging a trench somewhere, happy and just with the dogs, and that's it.
Yeah. Today I'm going to be loading stone on our driveway, and we have these big walkways, and I have to put pea gravel in between those walkway pieces, and I'll be
on the
tractor.
You're going to have to drink a lot of water.
That's right. Because I'll pee gravel. Yeah. So yeah, I will be on my tractor later today. Yeah.
Oh, well, enjoy. I love that. Do we want to play one of the...
for me?
I mean, we sort of asked for an questions. Hour. I mean...
Well, I want to talk about Full House Rewind. We can't let you go without talking about... Congratulations. Your podcast is back. It's very exciting.
Yes.
I love watching it.
Thank you.
It's truly
it's really fun.
A unique show that combines video, interviews, impressions, puppets. It's like a variety show, and it's so cool to watch you create.
Thank
this.
You. Thanks. I love being a host. You know, I kind of started in show business being a host, hosting a series on Nickelodeon called Out of Control. So I wanted to create something that, you know, I could do my voices and have puppets, a little bit of Pee-wee's Playhouse, but kind of drag one foot in the world of Full House, you know, and do just something different than a podcast, kind of do a video podcast and create like a little show around Full House. So, we relaunched with Stamos as our guest.
Nice.
Great.
I'm so excited because you guys are going to come on.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Yes. It'll be really fun. Can't wait.
I can't wait to see the set. The set looks so cool. You got like the plaid couch chair, sitting chair. So, it's so cool.
It's so tiny, which is a metaphor for my life. But it's just a tiny little set, you know? But we're having fun, and I get to write the episodes, and it's a real challenge, you know, trying to be funny with these characters that, you know, I'm borrowing Mr. Woodchuck and Comet. And
right.
We have a character, Granny Tanner, and all we see are her ankles. So it's been really fun. It's been a real challenge. You know, we're back, which
good.
I'm going to be very busy again. So
What has surprised you most rewatching, or I guess watching for the first, not rewatching, you're watching it for the first time.
You guys were so good. You guys were so freaking good. I mean, you were so funny. Just to have that kind of timing, you can't teach a kid to have timing. You just either have that or you don't. And I mean, you know, because I'm going back to first season, I just watched a scene, Jody, with you and Candace, where you get it's episode, I think it's 13, called Sisterly Love, where you get the commercial.
The oat boats, yes, we did, yep.
Oat boats, yeah.
The oat boats commercial.
So I'm watching you two, and then you have that heartfelt scene. First of all, you were so funny in it. Secondly, you have that heartfelt scene, and I'm tearing up. I'm like, it got me.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't expecting that all these years later. I was expecting to be a little bit cynical about it, and, you know, but it pulled me in, and I went, I'm seeing why it was so special to so many people.
Yeah.
You know, to rewatch them, because I never watched the show. You know, I always thought I'll be hooked up to machines having a Full House marathon going.
You're like, let me just see it one last time.
That's right. Oh, look at that. He's dead.
He's dead. That actor's dead. That guest star's dead. They're all dead.
I mean, we have had that a few times. We're like, oh, it's so-and-so. Is, oh, they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little Richard's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Comet has been dead for 30 years.
Yeah.
I know. I did have that realization. Like, oh, that's right.
It's
crazy. Yeah. But going back, Andrea, to your point, you guys were remarkable.
Mm.
You were just and you can't fake that. You can't fake the chemistry that exists on the show. You either have that or you don't. You can't manufacture that.
And it was for us. I mean, it's kind of been fun to go back, like watching the old episodes and really seeing this family kind of find that chemistry and come together. Yeah. Like you really do see the progression of our relationships on screen. You see the you know, Ashley and Mary Kate start really warming up and being much more like a part of it, and them growing up, and you just start seeing the in-between stuff of affection and real camaraderie amongst us as a family. And I love that the show really was, you know, it wasn't about this family that already existed. It was about this family sort of coming together and figuring out how to become.
Right.
And I realize now, like, we really watched that. It was like watching these people become the family that they turned into.
And it's also really interesting that we have different perspectives, because while we were out on that stage, you guys were in a classroom, you know, being kids, you know, and, you know, there's kind of two generations here talking about the same show, which I think is really interesting because, you know, you guys are driving to Full House with your moms.
Right.
I'm driving with Bob or John, you know, and we're going to Vegas after the show on Friday night. You guys are going to a birthday party. You know, with Mary Kate and Ashley, you know? So I think it's really interesting that we do have those two different perspectives of what life was like as we go back and venture and take a look at these episodes. It's really interesting. Yeah.
Well, I always think about it, like, I don't really have a part of my life that I remember prior to having Full House in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have experiences that I really viscerally remember prior to 5 years old, you know? So like, this has always been a part of my life. I don't, you know, like you guys as adults have like the before and the after. I, you know, even I guess really for you, you were 10, like, at, you know, at same with Ashley Mary Kate, like there was never a before. There was just what it was and an after, you know. It's kind of crazy.
And there's a lot of questions that we don't know the answers to, such as who came up with the mannequin wearing the same shirt as Joey Gladstone in those first, the
that
first half of the season.
It was,
that you or Jeff?
Me. It was me. Because I just thought this is really weird. I wonder if the audience will get it. And it was just dumb. It was dumb. It drove the prop people insane.
I'm sure they were like, God,
absolute Roger Montesano.
Roger. Yep.
Yeah. Our prop master. It drove them nuts. And then I realized it's not really a, you know, it's not a catchy, cool thing. It's kind of dumb.
Oh, I loved it. I enjoyed it. We looked every episode.
Every episode we've made quite the issue out of it. And particularly the ones where the mannequin changed during the episode, mostly because it led me to the questions of who is doing the changing and why does Joey have these extra shirts for the mannequin, and do you really have room for a mannequin in an alcove? There's lots of things, but
it begs.
And if you're living in an alcove, you will have to have not only your own stuff, but now the mannequin stuff too. Like I had a lot of questions.
I had a hidden wardrobe shack somewhere.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Well, in that the little yellow bug, which was Joey's car, wasn't it? That we saw twice.
Yeah.
With the frunk
that was your closet.
No, I just
The glove compartment was where you kept all the mannequins clothes. But
I just watched the bullet episode You know, John, somehow the car goes into the
and he's fine.
No one cares about Jesse.
We're like, what happened to the car? Oh, you almost died.
Yeah. So then I directed the episode where you re-crash Bullet.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Through the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That was, you got all the difficult episodes. You had the Nutcrackers. You had the car in the kitchen.
Like, yeah, that show was named Nutcracker for a reason. But yeah, I had, it seemed like all the special effects always landed on my episode. And Jeff would tell me, he goes, I'm sorry, Dave. I'm like, what? He's like, you've got this thing where we're doing all this green screen video gaming. Right. Stuff.
But I also feel like every week on Fuller House was some new fresh hell of a stunt or a costume or a thing. So it was much more so than the original show. I'm like, oh, and we had a song montage in every episode, but we didn't have a full scale, like, you know, Hamilton costumes or, you know, things like that.
And that Nutcracker episode, that was the first one I directed.
Yeah.
And Andrea, you were so funny in that episode.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorites. Getting the ballet on its feet and Jeff constantly changing the choreography or how many times my character died in the ballet.
Yes.
And I remember being so frustrated. And I'm like, Dave, tell Jeff to stop changing his mind. And you were so good talking me down. You were just like, write it out. Jeff will see it. He'll see the problems in all of his ideas and it will all come together. Yeah. And it did. It all came together beautifully.
I remember giving you a bit where you die and you kick your legs.
Yes.
The feet. The feet because
that's how Curly would die in the Three Stooges. Right. He'd always kick his legs, you know. And I always thought that was so funny. And I went, Andrea, let me show you something. This is a Three Stooges move.
Yeah. You were so good at those little details make such a big difference. And you were good at the details of comedy.
It was so funny. It just made me laugh seeing you do Curly from Three Stooges.
Dressed as a giant rat.
Dressed as a giant rat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere? Oh,
yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988, no phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults.
you know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The other question we have that to put this debate to rest, is it Uncle Joey or is it just Joey?
It's just Joey.
I have been vindicated.
Here's how it became Uncle Joey.
Oh, okay. Tell us.
Because in one of the early shows, I forget which one of your characters said, Uncle Jesse and Joey are coming. And it just stuck where we were kind of the uncles and we just got bonded.
Right.
And I think there is an episode where one of you guys says Uncle Joey is coming or Uncle Joey was here or something. But I think it's actually said in one of the episodes.
It is. It's the scene where you're in the shower with all of like this pink hair, like the shower cap and stuff.
He's got the Jesse, swimming cap and the goggles. Yes. And he's giving the baby a bath or something.
And right. And Jesse hands you the baby and says, here, go to Uncle Joey. That's the only time I've heard it.
So it was John.
It was John.
John.
Oh, it was John. That. John probably okay. Ad-libbed that. Yeah.
Got right. That, yeah. Stuck. Guaranteed that wasn't in the script.
It is stuck. But everybody, you know, introduces me as Uncle Joey and blah, blah, blah. It's okay. You know, being America's uncle, it's nice. You know,
it's a term of endearment.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
I just always like to clarify because people like Uncle Joey. I'm like, well, technically it's not Uncle Joey. It's Uncle Jesse and Joey. But I will let it slide on a technicality.
I've just accepted it. And I don't fight it anymore. I don't correct people.
Yeah.
It's like Jeff Daniels lives here in Michigan. Who's very accomplished.
But have we ever seen you two in the same room?
You haven't, but Jeff and I are good friends. And, you know, he says, if one more person comes up and does that stupid cut it, whatever you do. I said, hey, if one more person comes up to me and asks, are you dumb or dumber? You know, but we've talked about it. He just said, he goes, I don't fight it anymore.
Right. You're like,
correct people. I just say, sure, I'll sign it.
Does he sign it, Dave Coulier, like your dad told him to?
I don't know.
Make sure you sign it, Dave.
Yeah. Coulier. I just, people, oh, Jeff, how's it going? And then I'll sign it like Shirley Temple. There you go.
They're probably very confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Shirley Temple's signature by Dave Coulier on a photo of Jeff Daniels. And
yes,
the eBay resale on that is astounding.
Oh, really. You want to talk about dumber.
Well, Dave, we're so happy you got to join us. Unless you have more to say. Like we could just keep doing
this. I just wanted to keep you. I know you had to be off at a certain time. So we don't want to keep, I mean, we'll keep you as long as you know, you'll let us.
We've been unpacking stuff and I saw the script and one of you guys wrote Billy DeBell inside my script.
Billy DeBell? It might have been Candace might have been. I know I used to draw, like I became the one that would just draw inappropriate pictures on people's scripts during notes.
Oh, I wonder where you got that from.
Do you know I donated?
No idea.
I donated accidentally. There was a charity that asked for a Full House script for a donation for an auction.
Right.
And so I donated it. I think it was a school, actually, like an elementary school. And so the secretary called me after she got the script.
There's a giant wiener.
Yeah, there's a giant wiener on the back of the script. I was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I had to provide a new script because we couldn't auction that off to the needy children. We had.
I mean.
Bob would draw those on my script constantly during notes.
Yeah. Yep. And then I started doing it and I would draw them on Candace and Andrea's script during notes. Jeff would be giving Bob Boyett would be giving a note and I would just be drawing just a wiener on Candace's script, and like, and she was just like, "What are you? Stop!" And I was, and I like, I'm deadpan just doing it, and she's just dying. Like, what is happening? Yeah, it was great.
You've taught us so well.
Bob was so nuts during notes. It was so, so unproductive. It was just, he would just, it was his moment where he would just lose it for an hour.
You know, well, he'd been trying to keep it together so well the rest of the day that finally he was just, and he was sitting down in one place so he couldn't pace and wander off and do, it was just, it all came out.
And he would do his, he would do his Raiders Lost Ark.
Oh yeah, Indiana Jones.
Where he would slice himself open, open himself
Harry,
up.
Hari Kari, right.
Pull all his guts out, throw him over a tree, and then swing by his own guts. And because he was swinging from his guts, his lungs would open and close, and that would.
Such a detailed bit.
It was such a detailed, absurd. Where and why did this happen, and why is it still funny to us to this day? I don't know, because everyone else listening is like, "That's really gross.
Really
that's really horrifying." And we're really sorry, listeners, but this is this is who we are as real people. And
but we I miss him daily, because I'll be driving in my truck, and this time of year around the holidays, Bob would call me and sing a filthy Christmas song. I especially miss him around the holidays, and it was always something falsetto. You know, and it was always the filthiest in some Christmas song where he would sing.
Yep.
He was like an insane caroler.
Right.
That would call me. And I have so many bits that I can only do with Bob. And I'll think of one and I'll go, I can't call him and like let this out.
Right.
Curse you, Bob Saget. I can't let this out of my skull.
Because if you did it to anyone else, they'd just be like, are you okay? What's wrong with you? I'm concerned. Oh, man. What a wonderful walk down memory lane.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
And I loved hearing just more about, you know, you and growing up and what it was like, and you know.
Yeah, I'd never heard the story about your brother teaching you how to do impressions. That's
yeah,
so sweet.
he was so funny. My brother was like, he was the leader of all the kids on our block. He was like the Pied Piper.
Right.
And he would do the most bizarre things. Like my brother dressed up like a dead kid and charged a quarter to see a dead kid. Yeah. My brother my brother built a little like funeral parlor down our basement. And I went down the basement and he had this record going that was just church organ music. And I walked down and there's light and he's laying there with a rosary with a suit on, and he waxed his hair back and put a suit and tie on. And I walked down and I go, Danny, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to charge kids a quarter to see a dead body. I go, how are you going to get them down there? He goes, I'll give you 10 cents of every quarter if you go get the kids.
Wow.
Yes. So my brother put a suit on and made a casket down our basement with a little light shining on him. And I remember he was probably only like maybe 7 years old. But it was brilliant. And so I would go and round up kids in the neighborhood. I go, my brother's dead and he's down our basement. Do you want to go see a dead body? And the kid's like, he's not. I'm like, it's going to cost you a quarter. So I would bring kids down and it was all scary and spooky. And some kids would run out, you know, because my brother did like makeup and
right. Like he really went for it.
It was called Butch.
You were getting a lot for that quarter.
Yes.
Commitment. Yeah. Yes. Production value.
But we probably made $15, you know, which was a lot of money.
It's also is just a statement to the age old thing, which is also proven by Stand By Me, that kids just want to see dead bodies. And I don't know why, and they're weird, but here we are. Kids will be like, I will go on a 3-day hike to go see a dead body.
My brother had the best one-liners too. Like, my dad never went to the dentist his entire life. So like every year we'd see a picture of my dad in a family photo. We go, he's missing another tooth. That one's gone. Like, let's, like, here's last year. The tooth was there. So,
right.
Oh, wow. So my dad, I don't know why my dad was terrified of doctors and dentists, but he never went to a dentist his entire life. Right. So one year my nephew Taylor is born. He's a baby and my dad's holding him and my dad sneezes. And my brother said, you better check Taylor's forehead for teeth. So, and I remember my dad getting so mad, but he couldn't mention anything about it because it was like the thing you never talked about.
Right.
But I remember me and my sisters laughing. We couldn't, we had to walk out of the room because it was so funny. But my dad and my brother had a kind of a weird Laurel and Hardy dynamic.
Right.
Where they were always making jokes and cutting each other down, but it was hysterical. So every year at Thanksgiving, my dad would wait till there was a quiet moment and he'd go, boy, this is really nice. You know, I'm probably not going to be here next year, but you know what? Thank goodness, you know, I got to spend this Thanksgiving with you guys. And my brother, without missing a beat, says, Dad, look, when it finally happens, can you just make sure it's on a Thursday so I can set you out with the garbage? You know, but it was just, you know,
just that very dark, funny, right. Right.
Funny, weird family, you know? So by the time I met Bob, I was like, oh, I got this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See, I make jokes like that. And my mom's like, something's wrong with you. Yeah. Something is wrong with you.
Yeah. My dad would always say, Dave, you got a screw loose.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you.
But yeah, my mom, I wouldn't have joked like that. I go, no, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so. This was such a great interview. I could just talk to you for hours, sitting here in the rain.
We already have.
Yes, we have. But we love you, and we can't wait to do your show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell people where they can find it?
You can find us on YouTube at Full House Rewind, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's everywhere.
Fantastic.
And I can't wait for you guys to come do the show. I can't wait to just see you guys because we have so
I know.
Always.
I know. It's very hard you living all the way in Michigan now because I used to see you a lot more.
Well, you have to come and see this place. It's pretty extraordinary. I will say that.
The giant bathroom house. I can't wait.
It's cool.
I'm coming just for the bidets.
Yes. Spend as many
a different one each day.
I
have to say at least a week.
Yes. Yes. You can use a new toilet here every day. Yeah.
Like an advent
you guys.
I'm so glad we ended on the same note that we started, which was bathroom humor.
Welcome to this version of Outhouse. Yes. I love you guys so much.
I love you too, Dave. Go have fun in your tractor.
The tractor's right outside, so I'm gonna go get that stuff done. But
and tell Mel we said hello and we love her and send big hugs. And we will see you soon in person.
Okay.
Can't wait.
All right.
All right. Bye. Bye, Poo Poo.
Love you,
Poo Poo. Bye, Poo Poos.
Bye. That interview went exactly as I thought it would, which was hilarious, but also I don't know what we did.
I can't tell you a thing we talked
about.
But
I'm lost. Now, if you want to follow us on Instagram, you can check us out at How Rude Podcast. You can also send us an email at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure and like and subscribe to the podcast so we can keep bringing you more hilariously fun, ridiculous Full House recaps and mini-sodes. Also send us your questions for mini-sodes. We love to hear those too. And so remember, everybody, until next time, the house is not...
Nah.
I got overconfident.
You were so overconfident.
The world is small, but the house is full.
I knew you couldn't do too many in a row.
That's what, This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship. With thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.